But it's time I return to this theme of reality, to the theme of fact, the experience of which transformed the Buddha from an unenlightened into an enlightened human being. As we've seen, the reality to which the Buddha attained was profound and hard to see. It was the most peaceful and superior goal of all. Not only that, it was not attainable by mere ratiocination. It was subtle, incredibly subtle, and it was for the wise to experience. Nonetheless, it had to be communicated. A bridge, however frail, however slender, had to be flung across that abyss separating the enlightened from the unenlightened mind. So how did the Buddha do this? How did he communicate the reality he had discovered to unenlightened human beings? Now, we may say that there are two principal modes of communication. One can communicate through the medium of concepts, and one can communicate through the medium of images. In the Pali scriptures, the Buddha tends to make the greater use of the medium of concepts, though images, parables, myths, similes, are by no means lacking. In some of the Mahayana scriptures, the Buddha tends to make much greater use of the mode of communication which consists in images, though again here, concepts are by no means absent, and a few of the Mahayana sutras are communicated almost entirely through the medium of concepts. In the present account, in the Pali scriptures, the Buddha communicates through concepts. And in particular, he communicates through the concept of what we've come to call in English conditionality. He has already given a hint of this in his account of his solitary reflections before the appearance of Brahmasambuddhi, when he was disinclined to teach, disinclined to communicate. At this time he spoke of the reality he had discovered as specific conditionality, as Nyanamoli translates it, dependent arising. It can also be rendered as the originating of things by dependence on conditions, or more simply as conditionality. And this, we may say, and this we really need to remind ourselves, is the basic concept of Buddhism. To the extent that Buddhism is reducible to a concept, it's reducible to the concept of conditionality. The whole of Buddhism, both theoretical and practical, is founded on this concept. Not founded on it as a concept, of course. Buddhist philosophy is founded upon it. Buddhist meditation is founded upon it. The Buddhist life itself is founded upon it. What then is this concept? In what does it consist? Well, this concept of conditionality is two things, or represents two things. First of all, it represents an expression of the Buddha's experience of reality. It's an expression of the Buddha's enlightenment experience. It is not something that the Buddha has merely thought out. It's not something that the Buddha has reasoned out, excogitated. It's an expression, a direct expression of his enlightenment experience. Thus, it doesn't represent a philosophy in the Western sense of the term. Though I've spoken of Buddhist philosophy as being based on it, that too Buddhist philosophy is not philosophy in the Western sense. Buddhist philosophy, as we call it, is an attempt at the further, more detailed elucidation of the Buddha's vision of reality. Second, the concept of conditionality is an expression of the Buddha's experience of reality in conceptual terms, or if you like, in terms of abstract ideas. Concepts, abstract ideas, are a means of communication, and the Buddha had to give expression to his experience of reality, had to give expression to it somehow. He had to give expression to it in conceptual terms if he was to say anything at all. At the same time, he had to give expression to that experience of reality by means of a concept that would be intelligible to ordinary unenlightened people, because we can certainly have an intellectual understanding up to a point of the concept of conditionality. He had to give expression to his enlightenment experience through the means of a concept that would actually communicate. A concept that would also provide a basis for the eventual attainment of reality by the ordinary person. So that concept is the concept of conditionality, or we may say universal conditionality. I hope this part of my talk hasn't been too abstruse. But unless we grasp this point, we won't understand the nature of reality, and we won't understand Buddhism, and we won't understand the process of transformation.